Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas.
Welcome to the Central Baptist Church. I'm going to read you a verse out of James. James 2, verse 23, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." You know, when we trust in Jesus Christ, he imputes his righteousness, which means he literally puts his righteousness upon us. And now we can call ourselves the friend of God.
Who am I that you are mindful of me?
Exciting. Jesus calls us friend. God calls us friend. You know, Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is the Emmanuel, who is the Holy One, who is Lord of all creation, who is there in creation, who is there in Revelation, who is there in the New Testament, who is with us now, calls us friend. Jesus is amazing. Let's praise Him again. We're going to sing Jesus Messiah. Sing it out.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross.
Number 124, it's God Will Take Care of You. And I believe that God will take care of us. We are His children, and He sees after His children. So if you would, again, it's hymn number 124. I don't know if it'll be on the screen or not, but it's God Will Take Care of You.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings above abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
On the second.
Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Verse.
No matter what may test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Amen. How many of you believe that this evening? Amen. You may be seated.
We just finished a study in Psalms, and one particularly, I think, our passage has been a blessing to Martha. I want her to share it.
This was a card that a friend from this church gave me, like about 18 years ago. And it had several scriptures from Psalms on it. And the ones that I really loved were Psalms 28:7. Which says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with song will I praise him." Another one that was on here was Psalm 29:11. And it says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace."
Janetta, come, if you will. Share with us what's on your heart, please.
Well, Psalms 23 really stands out to me because the meaning it has, it's just, it explains, you stop and think, well, now how far will I go when I die, and who's going with me, or I'm going by myself. Well, I think Psalms 23 says it all, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. That's one of the main verses. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, to me, he's telling me, he's standing there waiting for me when I get ready to go.
Amen.
And it's comfortable. And then when you're, some of your relatives is being buried or something, and you use that, that is also comforting to know that God is with them and leading them through the green valley. Man. So it really means a whole lot.
Brother Lindell, just take over and share with us whatever God puts on your heart.
This is a fairly simple list of some, you know, good soul-winning scriptures and just some identification scriptures, really. You know, one of the jobs of the church is to empower the Christian to win souls. That's really the heart and thrust of what I've put together here. For many of you, this will just be review, but it'll be good to hear. It's nice to hear and review what we already know and just become more solid in the foundation in which has already been built in our lives. For others of you, this may be a good resource to help familiarize you with some of the soul-winning scriptures. This is really just a way to help empower you, if at all possible, to get out there and win souls. That's our job. That's what we want to do. We want you empowered. And I'm going to kind of read and walk through some of this, really stuff you can do on your own. But first, when a person, anybody who is in need of salvation, the first thing they have to know is the fact that they are in need. They're in danger. If a person doesn't know they're in danger or that they need salvation, why take it? You know, if you're in the water and you're swimming just fine, you're probably not going to respond real well to a lifeguard coming wrestling you out of the water because you didn't know you were drowning or in danger, right? Well, these people first have to know that they're in danger. So the first thing I feel is necessary is to identify the fact that we're sinners. We sin. And we must know that we are sinners, and there's a penalty for that sin. I kind of put a little definition for sin right there above. If you'll see, I said it's an offense against a religious or a moral law. You know, you could identify some moral laws for them if you want, but I mean, it's just as simple as, have you ever done anything wrong? And I don't think you're ever going to run into a person that says, no, I've never done anything wrong. Well, if they tell you that, say you just did. You're a liar. So, you know, the thing is, we've all done something wrong, okay? I like to take them to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, very, very sharp proof there that we're all guilty, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then I have kind of some sub-scriptures under there. The Romans Road, or I've kind of have identified at the front, or a pathway that oftentimes I like to take, maybe I should say, but... then some other sub-scriptures if you wanted to reiterate your point. Romans 3:10, 11, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Romans 5:12 is a great verse for this. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Not some, not a few, all. All of us have sinned. And what they need to understand is because of that sin, there's a penalty. There's a wage that they are going to be paid. Just as much as there's a wage they'd be paid if they went to work and worked at an hourly job for $7.25 an hour, there's a wage that they're going to be paid at the end of that day. Well, at the end of your life, there's a wage that will be paid for the sin, and that is death. And it's not just a physical death, though it is a physical death. We will die physically because of sin, but this is talking about a second death, a spiritual death, a separation from God. And I feel like that if they don't get that, if that's not something that they really understand, well, then there's no point in dealing with them, because if they don't feel they need a Savior, they're not going to accept a Savior. Then I like to show them that God created a way out. We know that the wages of sin is death. The fact that we are sinners means that we are guilty and our punishment should be death. But, I love the but in Romans 6:23, and we'll get to that here in a second, God created a way out. Romans 5:8 says this, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now this is very important that Christ died for us. In Hebrews 9:22 we see this. In the King James it says, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Sins are not forgiven without the shedding of blood. We saw that in the Old Testament, but even more so in the New Testament, Christ came. A blood sacrifice had to be made. That's what makes Romans 5:8 so important to us, because God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ became that blood sacrifice. He shed his blood. He forgave our sins. Romans 5:9 is another good source. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then oftentimes I like to come back to 6:23 and I finish it up. But we have that wonderful three-letter word there. The wages of sin is death, yes, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then I think it's very important, because we have a lot of people out there preaching salvation by works. But what they need to understand is salvation is something that was done through his work and not our own. It's not about what we've done. I feel like Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is a very important scripture that people really need to see, or at least grasp the concept of. That for by grace are we saved through faith. See, we're saved by his grace through our faith. When those two come in contact, there's where we find salvation. And it's not of ourselves. It's not of anything we do. It's a gift. The Bible says it's a gift. When's the last time you worked for a gift? If you worked for it, it wasn't a gift. It's a gift. It's not of anything you've done. It's a gift of God. And then it plainly says in verse 9, it couldn't get any more plainer, not of works, lest any man should boast. Very familiar verse, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God has done the work. And then it comes into, what must I do to accept Christ's work for me? Christ's work for me, not what must I do to accept my own work, or what must I do to improve where I'm at, or how do I have to work for it? That's not it. How do I accept what Christ has already done? Okay, and then we go into Romans. This is again right in your Romans road, Romans 10:9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13, again, as simple as it can be, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They will be saved. The word shall and will are synonymous. Will be saved. Not maybe saved, not saved for a short period of time, not saved for a partial eternity, but they're going to be saved. It's a completion. Acts 16:31, when Paul was in the Philippian jail, and the jailer asks, hey, Paul, what must I do to be saved? And then he tells him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Revelation 3:20, important that we understand that it is God who's doing the drawing, God who's doing the knocking, God who's doing the pulling. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He comes looking for you. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a change. True faith will produce works. True faith will produce action for Christ.
Amen.
Then we go into John 10, verses 27 to 28, and it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, if you're really a child or a sheep of the true shepherd, you're going to hear his voice, and you're going to follow him. So he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. How many of you are excited about the return of Jesus Christ? I was talking with Brother Joe, I guess it was just a few days back, and he said, Lindell, I hope we're raptured together. I said, yeah, and I hope it's today, Brother Joe. He said, so do I. Man, I'm excited about the coming back of Jesus Christ. Man, when that king comes back in all his glory and the Christians were raptured up with him. And, it's just, you know, it thrills my soul just to think about it. I'm going to sing a song. I think it was originally written by Bill Gaither. It was a request song. It's The King Is Coming.
The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the street. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtroom there's no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate. The king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallway, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes he has mended, those from prison he has set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Those who are crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. The king, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng and the fury of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolded. Heaven's grandstands are all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Stars I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King, he is coming, praise God.
Isn't that going to be a wonderful day? Oh, that is today. Hey, you know, if you can't honestly say you hope the King is coming back today, you really need to meet Jesus Christ. You really need to come into contact with him. Hey, it's a scary thing if you don't know him. I wouldn't want him to come back right now if I didn't know him. Then I'd be left behind. But if you know him, oh, if you know him, if you've come into contact with his amazing grace, those chains are gone, you're set free, you're ready to go. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.